concealing consciousness, Kunzu's apprehending that the phenomena ultimately have nature, whereas the ultimate actually do not, whereas they actually do not, is also itself a factor of internal verbalizations. In that case, is it produced by the causes that are of its own earlier similar type, or is it merely imputed by the conventional and verbal conceptuality? So I think, yeah, we need to know the way that mind only schools kind of holding on whatever this is truly existent, or they believe something that is like other power natures and ultimate natures the truly existence, and imputational natures is only that is imputation, that is not truly existence, right? So whatever the mind, the middle school, they express like all the phenomena is absence of inherent existence, absence of truly existence. The absence of truly existence of all phenomena is ultimate natures. Whatever this is, mind only school still holding on their own kind of the idea the middle school, when they say all phenomena are not ultimately existent, not truly existence, and here the Asanga text, they don't see there's a very much argument talking about imputational natures, the ultimate natures. Because imputational natures always not truly existent in mind-only school and middle school, and even in Sotantic school, right? So there's not much argument in that. And ultimate natures is always truly existent, true, or ultimately, I mean, this is the ultimate nature in mind-only school and the Prasangic school. Now, what they see is more essential to debate with the Prasangic school. They see they need to more focus on other power natures, because other power natures is taking a basis of every idea. So once you, when you think about other power natures not truly existent or not truly existent or the truly existence, so this is the making, the fundamental idea of coming out from that, believing other power natures truly exist or not, right? So imputational natures, based on other power natures, and then you say, mind only school says, imputation of nature that is imputed based on other power nature is not truly existence. And the Prasangika school says other power natures that exists in the face of conceptual consciousness or the term only in conventional level, not exists in a true nature, not exists in ultimate nature. Right. So, yeah. So now the ultimate nature or the thoroughly established nature in the Prasangika school is absence or true existence of other power nature. That is the thoroughly established nature or the ultimate nature in the Prasangika school. And mind only school sees there is a more kind of need to debate or the argument, the said argument, based on the idea about the other power natures. So, and my own school, when they asked the question towards the Prasangika schools, what is ultimate nature and what is the conventional nature? The two, right? The Venerable One, what is the ultimate nature? And Prasangika school says, absence of, absence of the truly existent of all phenomena is the ultimate nature. And what is the conventional natures? Say, now they are not really saying that in an easy way. Oh, pot, or the tree, house. So a Prasangika school says, consciousness that apprehending a truly existent, true nature in phenomena, true nature in the other power natures, that is our illustration of conventional, right, conventional nature, right. So now, so this kind of shows more kind of the standard view or something, right, like that. So, and my own school says, if you believe that the self-grasping in your school as consciousness, the apprehending or the grasping of the true nature in phenomena, if that is conventional, right? And now, not so conventional or and concealing consciousness, right? Concealer or something. So if you said that is a concealer, so that means you are not believing that is true nature. And what is your idea of not being true? And Prasangika school says, that is not truly existence. This is the absence of inherent existence. The consciousness that keep grasping on, keep grasping or keep apprehending true nature and phenomena. Because of that, it's not truly existence. Right? And now, my own school understanding of the true nature is something that has a cause and conditions, produced with cause and conditions. There's only holding on that idea. So then keep asking, do you think that the consciousness that apprehending true nature and phenomena is produced by similar type of earlier the similar type of that consciousness, earlier similar type of consciousness? Or do you believe that the consciousness apprehending true nature and phenomena is just imputed by the thought consciousness? Right, and the two questions. And once you say that is produced by the earlier similar type of consciousness, that means it's the productions. And once the production, that must be true nature, is the true existence. And then if you say that's just merely imputed by the thought, and that's become an imputation of natures. And once, if you say the other power natures, that is other power natures, the consciousness, mistaken consciousness. If you say that consciousness is merely imputed by the thought consciousness, so that means this is not produced by cause and conditions, right? Without produced by cause and conditions, if you see the functional thing, that is non-existence in mind only school, right? So if you believe in that idea, so the functional things that are not truly existence, and you do not have a basis of imputational natures. If you do not have a basis of imputational natures, that means you do not have an imputational nature in general, right? Now, if you do not have imputational nature in general, then you cannot empty the truly existent on some imputational natures. That means you do not have ultimate nature, So, since you deprecate the existence of imputational natures, deprecate of the truly existing other power natures, that deprecating the imputational nature in general, that deprecating the ultimate nature in general, so you do not have a three nature. Right. So my own school kind of keep pushing towards their kind of nihilism. So they are almost saying that you are annihilating the existence. Right. Yeah, this is the argument in here. If it is produced by causes that are of its own earlier similar type, then since it is produced by causes, it is not suitable to say that it does not exist. That means that does not exist ultimate. Does not ultimately exist. Okay. The reference here is to ultimate existence, because this is an occasion of debating about ultimately existing or not ultimately existing. And because the opponents, that is the proponents of non-natures, assert that other power natures do not ultimately exist and does not propound that they do not exist in general. So Prasangika school not saying that it's not exist in general. They are saying it's not exist in true nature. It's not ultimately existence. Yeah, I think, okay. I think this is really a little bit confusion, that is the language they are using in English. The first, we have a term that for the emptiness in mind-only school, this is the ultimate nature. So when you talk about three natures, ultimate natures, that referring to the ultimate nature, that is the emptiness, right? The object of ultimate consciousness, right? Now, in Tibetan, first that. And then, and one that is the truly exists or not, right? So, so truly existent is referring to other power natures and ultimate natures, the both, right? So, the truly existent not necessarily to be emptiness, not necessarily to be the other power natures. So when you talk about ultimate natures, when you talk about the three natures, within the three natures, ultimate natures only refer to the emptiness, right? Now when you use that, not true, not ultimately existent, or how is that? Ultimate existence, not ultimate existence. So this is a little bit confusion in Tibetan words. We say "tön tambar madup," and truly existent we say "dambar madup." "Tön tambar" and "dambar" is the same meaning. Now, when you talk about "tönam damba" means ultimate nature, "tönam damba." So maybe there is a possibility we get confused when you say that do not exist, do not ultimately exist. That only means not truly existing. Right? So not saying that this is not ultimate nature. It's not about kind of argument that is, the consciousness is ultimate nature or not. It means truly existing or not. Right. The English term is, we haven't have kind of we are not fixed in term. So always use the different terms, and then so here the ultimately existing. So when you say this Asanga's text, it is not suitable to say that it does not exist. That means that does not ultimately exist. So this is not talking about that is not ultimate nature. That here is understanding of this in this sense is that does not truly exist. So we need to have a translation group, and we need to have a rules to how to So a reference here is ultimate existence, because this is an occasion of debating about ultimately existing or not ultimately existing. And because the opponents, that is proponent of non-natures, assert that other power nature do not ultimately exist, not truly exist, and does not propound. So when you say the ultimately, not ultimately existence, that is very different from saying that not exist in general. Now here is the second. The first, so if you believe that is produced by causes, and there is no way to say that things are not exist, things are not truly exist. So this is in the Mind-Only School understanding. So when Mind-Only School heard that kind of the state expressing from the Prasangic schools, Mind-Only School heard, if you say the consciousness, the apprehending true nature in phenomena, if you say that is produced by the earlier similar type of consciousness, or that the imprints or the latency produced this consciousness, and there's no way of saying that consciousness is not truly exist. This is, and second, if you believe that consciousness, that such consciousness is merely imputed by the thought consciousness, if you say that the concealing consciousness is merely imputed by the conceptuality, then it is answered that it is not suitable to be just imputed by the conceptuality, because it's the basis of imputation. So this is other power natures. Other power nature means the basis of imputation. So other power natures do not exist. The basis of imputation is just merely imputed by the thought consciousness. That means not truly existence. So since the other power natures not truly existence, and that means the same meaning of not exist in general. Since if conventionalities and verbalizations like these are only imputed by the conceptuality, then others also will only be such, in which cases other power natures will be non-existent. So this is Mind-Only School just kind of is the stir. So this is in Mind-Only School understanding, and refuting the identification of the ultimate by the proponents of non-natures. With respect to refuting identification of ultimate truth by the proponents of non-nature, the same text says, Asanga's Compendium of Ascertainment. We also say to those proponents of non-natures, venerable ones, Why do you claim that those things that are observed by the valid cognition to be established by way of their own character are not existent by way of their own character? So the prasangika school says the consciousness or the awareness that is apprehending the true nature in phenomena is the illustration of conventional, illustration of concealer or something. So, and my own school again kind of asks, the prasangika school says, why do you claim that these things that are observed by valid cognition to be established by way of their own characters are not existing by way of their own characters? Because things are that you can see, you can realize, that are existing by its own character, because it's something that is producing by the cause and conditions, not merely imputed, nor merely exists in the face of term and thought, right? It's not like imaginations. There is something producing, you can see it. That is the reason, there is a valid cognition that's realizing those other power natures are exist by its own character, not merely imputed by the term and thought. And why you keep saying that consciousness apprehending true nature and phenomena is not truly existing, right? When this ask, the proponents of non-nature answer, the prasangika school answer that. So my own school almost saying this, there is a valid cognition that is realizing true nature and phenomena, other power nature. So why you are saying this is not truly existence? Because the consciousness, there is a realization that realize the true nature in the phenomena, right? And proponents, prasangiks will answer that there is consciousness conceiving that objects are established by way of their own character does not damage our own assertions that objects are not established by way of their own character, because such consciousness is an erroneous thing. Erroneous thing. Okay. So the prasangika school says, so my point of view, my understanding of the view is there is no true nature in the phenomena, right? If you say there is a true nature because there is a consciousness that's realizing or the conceiving true nature in phenomena, and prasangika school says that is not valid reason. This is not the reason that can damage my point of view, because I believe that consciousness is the mistaken, right? That consciousness seeing the true nature in phenomena is mistaken, right? Conceiving true nature in phenomena is the wrong thought. So the wrong thought and mistaken consciousness cannot damage my view. About that, we ask, is that erroneous? Consciousness asserted to exist by way of its own characters, or it is asserted to not exist by way of its own character. Now again, the mind only school keep kind of the way of their asking is this very so my own school says, if you say that, and your understanding that the consciousness, the apprehending or the conceiving true nature and phenomena, if you say that is mistaken, that is the wrong consciousness. And how about that wrong consciousness, that mistaken consciousness, is it produced because of the condition or merely imputed? Again, this, yeah, keep asking that questions. It is produced by similar the type in the earlier similar type, or mere imputed by term and thought.
You're talking about the consciousness.
Consciousness, yeah. If it exists by way of its own character, yeah. So if it exists by way of its own character, then it is not suitable for you to say that the non-nature is the natureless. So that is the absence of ultimate existence. Ultimate existence of all phenomena is the ultimate. So this, when you, yeah. I think this is really the, how to say, so when you use this term, the ultimate existence of all phenomena is the ultimate. Since this erroneous consciousness would exist by its own character and hence would exist ultimately.
Ultimately means it
doesn't truly exist. Yeah, yeah.
Which is the opposite of that, what you just said.
Mm-hmm. So if you now hear, so they're asking that, so you're saying that the consciousness that mistaken, that is the wrong consciousness, that cannot damage the Prasangic school point of view, and my own school says, so that consciousness, that your understanding of the wrong consciousness or the mistaken consciousness, is it exists by its own character or not? Right? If you say the first, hypothetically, my own school, if you say that consciousness exists by a way of its own character, and then you do not have ultimate natures, you cannot say that absence of true nature in phenomena is ultimate nature, right? So if it does not exist by way of its own character, the second here, then since it would not exist at all, so this is a very so they have a very strict constitution in the mind only school. If you say that it not exists, the truly existence by way of its own character, then since it would not exist at all, it is not suitable for you to say that because the consciousness is an erroneous thing, it is observed by it is natureless. So, since the consciousness, that mistaken consciousness, is mere imputed by term and thought, and then there is no way of appropriate, or this is not the right way to say that consciousness apprehending something, conceiving something, because it does not exist, because you say it does not exist by its own characters, so. The production that is not exist by way of its own character, that is the same meaning of non-existence in general. And then you have no correct way of saying that, or that is the apprehending or the conceiving mistakenly. Right. It's like a horn of the rabbit, and is a big horn of rabbit, small horn of rabbit, or the black horn of rabbit, when you say that. So this is not really making sense. Now, Lama Tsongkhapa here, the meaning of that is the proponents of mind only school says to the proponents of non-natures. While these phenomena are observed to have an own character. So that is to say, establishment by way of their own character, how could it be reasonable to say that establishment of object by way of their own character does not exist? And proposition is the damage by valid cognitions. Observing such establishment of object by way of their own characters. So this, that means while these phenomena are observed to have an own characters, that is mind only school, their own understanding, their own belief, because this mind only school says there is a consciousness, there is the valid cognitions that are seeing the true nature in other power natures, right? And then how can you say that is not not truly existent? Because there is a realization, there is a valid cognition, that understanding or the realize the true nature in other power natures. So there's no way, the right way of saying that the other power nature is not truly existent. And answer for that is objection by the proponents of non-natures. Our assertion that phenomena are not established by way of their own character is not damaged by an awareness observing such because that the awareness is mistaken thing. And again, so second, they keep asking, answer by the proponents of mind only school, then if that mistaken awareness, as you said, exist by way of their own character, since it would ultimately have natures. And the naturelessness of all phenomena would not be suitable to be propounded as the ultimate truth. Right? This is hypothetically, they're saying that if you believe, now you have two options. So that consciousness exists by its own character, or imputed by mere term in thought, right? So first, if you say the first, it exists by its own characters, and then you do not have a kind of ultimate nature, because your ultimate nature is absence of emptiness of true nature in the phenomena, true nature in other power nature is ultimate natures. Naturelessness of all phenomena is ultimate natures, right? there is true nature in other power natures. So then, you do not have ultimate nature, ultimate truth. If you say If you say that consciousness, that awareness is mistaken awareness, so that you are believing and mistaken and awareness or the consciousness is not exist by its own character, and there's no way of saying that consciousness being wrong and that conceiving thing, right? Because if that is not exist by its own character, so that means not a productions. And not productions, in the functional things, that is not productions, that non-existent, right? So if this answer does not exist by way of its own character, then since it would be utterly non-existence, it is not feasible to say that because this awareness is mistaken, there is no fault in holding that such as establishment does not exist, even though establishment or object by way of their own character is observed by it. So what do you see? This is a kind of actually the prasangika way of answering, and they when they answer and their focus, and mind only school, when they heard the prasangika school's answer, and they're focusing on the different ways, like it's more kind of general. Prasangika school, non-existent, not truly existing. I think, the prasangika school says there's nothing you can point in the basis. Is the understanding of not truly existence, right? All the entity that we could label and label, and we can recognize things that, so entity that are not suitable to find within the basis is not true nature in phenomena. Is the absence of inherent existence, absence of truly existence, right? So, so mind only school, they cannot come to that understanding. So they just use their own glasses and they talk, and this is always color, that color. You have two color because I have only two glasses, right? One is yellow, one is black. When I wear the black, everything is black, and wear yellow, and everything is yellow, and I have two. So you, whatever you're talking, is there is no blue and different colors. So this is, I think because of the mind only school, and their wisdom, or their consciousness cannot be more kind of see the detail things. So things that are produced, you are seeing, I am seeing, right, is not an imputation, this is not an imagination. So imaginations, you could say, this is merely imputed, may exist in the face of term and thought. No direct perception can see that imaginations. So therefore, the imagination is imputation in nature. So being basis of the name is imputation in nature. No direct perceptions had conceived or has conceiving that nature, right? So and that sense you say is being basis of the name and imaginations. So the two, like one is being basis of the name, imagination they were talking about being object of the name, right? So being object of the name, being basis of the names, both are mere imputed by term and thought, mere conceived by the thought consciousness. No direct perception can conceive or apprehend So being basis of the name. So being basis of the name is imputation of natures. And things that are not like that, like things that you can see coming out from the causes and condition, that is the true nature. Right? Here, in my own school understanding, true nature means it's not just appearance of the term in thought. So that is the true nature. Right? Something that is not mere appearance of the term in thought, and things that is something that that can exist, that can produce from the causes and conditions, that is the true nature. So then they always stick with that. So they're not coming into finding the more detailed entity in the basis. Right? So they, the mind only school understanding are they, how to say, about the true nature is more kind of in the surface they're talking about. So Prasangika school says, so when you talk about the table, even the table, so there is one entity or that is so in our recognitions, our understanding, in the consciousness, in the mental consciousness, identification of that entity is far different from the basis, the parts. Something you can see, you're always seeing that. And that is also different from the basis. Right? And then you see that entity appears to mental consciousness just because of the collection of that basis. If there is no collection of basis, and there is no appearance of that entity, once the entity and the basis are collected, and then you appears the entity. An entity you cannot point within the basis. So then, Prasangika schools, that's imputational nature and the basis of imputations. Right. So not true means we appears ordinary, the consciousness, how say, mind that is not trained into seeing the reality and always appears, there is always entity that is coming out from the basis. So true or not is not true as it appears to our consciousness. Always it appears the entity exists from the basis side. So Prasangika was more in the subtle levels that they're talking about, right? So when they, mind only school, when they talk about imputational natures, they are not really kind of, stick with one entity and the basis. So when you say being object of the thought consciousness, being basis of the name, this means they are not really touching on entity and the basis. They are more comparing the object and the subject. They're trying to understand the emptiness within experimenting, like and the object and the subject. And then they understand, connection. So there is something that is pretty, that can and make existent because of the connection of the object and the subject. So they see two object, right? Mind only school. When the table and the subject, the conscious mental consciousness connected or being related, and then there is a new creation of the object. So they are more talking about that new creation of the object. So there's new appearance. Now that is their kind of the target to say it's not truly existence. So it is more like in general. So Prasangika school, one, they can fix on one entity, like a table or the house, tree. So what is tree? Your understanding, what is our understanding, and our mind, what is the understanding of that tree? If we ask our mind, the peel, what is it? The branches, every twigs or the branches, you say, is that a real tree? No. And what is your understanding? What do you see? What you sense that tree? So then we have different, how to say, there is a different level that can sees the tree. They can sense the tree, house is not really, how to say, directly kind of related or directly touched on the reality. Something in the, we've been creating something, entity that is, right? So we believe those appearance always coming out from the basis. Tree and the basis of the tree. Table and the basis of the tree. Right? And finding the entity within the basis or not. Not between searching between there is there any new the creation of object. New creation object, new object that is created by the mental creation or not, mental consciousness or not. So, and the basis, the object that is other power natures, like for example, table, is this is, or this is, there's no, it's not, how to say, there's no argument, there is no possibility to debate on that, something that is truly existing or not. That we all see, every ordinary beings or extraordinary beings, whatever, so they see this table is produced by cosmic conditions. This is truly solidly exist there, substantially exist there, right? And then mind only school says, when that solid substantial existence are related or connected with our mental consciousness, and then we see a new object. Right, that object that is being basis of the name, being object of the name, that is, we believe, we kind of, without any analysis, we tend to believe that is the solid and substantial. That is the direct misconception that is, how to say, being supportive, very supporting to the, our afflictive emotion. So they found this is the misconceptions. They found that that mental creations, being basis of the name and being object of the name, is a mental creation. This is not truly existence. Right? When they talk about not truly existence, they're only talking about that mental creations. They never talk about this, the substantial existence. Right? So Prasangika school, they even can find not truly existent or untrue in that substantial existent. So I think I have mentioned that before. So entity, when they talk about and Prasangika school understanding in emptiness, I mean analyzing an emptiness, they never needed to find the connection of object and subject. They can just directly go to this object and they find the emptiness of the object. When they go to the subject, they find the emptiness of the subject. So mind only school always, there is always needed, without connected, without touching with the subject, they cannot establish the emptiness. Right. So being basis of the name is not truly existent means, right? Not truly existent means it's not true as it appeared to thought consciousness. So now true existent means without depending on thought. That is the true existence. Without depending on thought in term, if something exists, that is truly existent. So prasangic school truly exists is not without depending on thought, term and thought. Right? Without depending on term and thought, that artificially kind of, true existence. Right? And so prasangic school says that is not really it's not very difficult, it's complicated to understand, because it's easy to refute that without depending on term and thought, its being basis of name is truly existence, right? Prasangic school says, even being basis of the thought is not truly existent, because it's completely depending on term and thought. And also, the basis of being basis of the name, like for example, this table, this is also not truly existence. That understanding of not truly existent is negation of that elements is the truly existence of the table. Truly existence of the table is not understanding that is without depending in term. Right, without depending on term and thought, if there is a table, right, that is the true existence. Prasangika school says it's not like that. If the truly existence of the table, hypothetically existent, truly exists on the table is findable within the parts of the table. The persons is findable within his body and the consciousness is understanding or truly existence of the person. You don't have to think if the person is without depending on term and thought, if something exists, right? The person exists, that is truly existence. Not. This is commonly existence. So, Prasangika school, there is no uncommon and truly existence. There is no the commonly true existence.
I remember reading something before and I never understand, because it's a book about the true truth. It says that in Prasangika, or the view of that everything, all phenomena that exist, they have to have a consciousness apprehending it. Like even if like in the forest, if there's a leaf coming down from the tree, okay, that is not happening unless there is a mind that's apprehending that for that to exist. That's what I'm not sure if I get it right, because that I just kind of thinking that why, because you would think there's always something happening there because out of production, but then you're saying that if there's no consciousness apprehending that, then there's no such phenomenon. So is that Prasangika point of view?
I think this is that can be even the Prasangika Sotantika school can say that, because when the definition of existence, the establishment, right, we say phenomena existing. And so we say every phenomena is the object of knowledge, right? Object of the knowledge is the definition of existence, right? Yuba. So object of knowledge, that means if there is no knowledge, there is no consciousness, so object cannot exist, right? So object of knowledge suitable to be at the object of the awareness. That is the definition of existence. So object that can, so when you say that, it's not that knowledge is not necessarily belong to the human being or the God realm or the hungry ghost or something. There's a kind of the endless, the limitless of the sentient beings. And then in general uses omniscient mind. It is always there. There is no such thing that is not perceived by the consciousness. Right. Now, for psychic school and mind only school, so when they talk about that, they both believe the emptiness phenomena, right? Emptiness phenomena. And when they try to, establish the emptiness. So I think the tools they need for the mind-only school always, right? They have to, when they try to establish the emptiness, they always bring the term and thought at the same time as a tool to establish the emptiness. Without talking about the term and thought, so they have no, they cannot establish the emptiness. Without touching term and the thought, and psychic school can establish the emptiness of the table. Right. So table exists in general, and table exists in conventional. You can conventionally express it, you can conventionally conceive the table, but when you search, when you try to point the table, you cannot point in the space, right? Then you cannot find the table in the space. You can, and that is the same way you're not finding the table in space. You cannot find the table within the basis of the table. It's like a coil of the rope, right? When you try to find the snake in the coil in the rope, or you cannot find the snake in the body of the snake. So you cannot point there is a snake when you search the body of the snake. All the organs and the skins and bones, there's nothing you can point as a snake. Unfindable is the emptiness of the Prasangic school. Now, when you come to establishing the emptiness in mind-only school, so this is emptiness of the, what is the emptiness of the table? Mind-only school, right? And the first mind-only school would say, table is the substantial existence. It's the truly existent. So there's no way of arguing truly existent on the table or not, because this is fixed. It's the truly existent. And when you ask, what is your emptiness of the table? And mind owner school says, so here's the basis, this table is a truly existence, without there's a truly existence. And what's, when you more kind of the force to to get into the what is the definition of that truly existent when they talk about truly existent this table. And they would say, this existence of these tables, right, to exist, never rely on the term and thought. Right? So that can exist by its own the earlier cause and the condition that can produce, even though you are naming or you are naming indefinitely wrongly or correctly, whatever. Right? So that producing continuously cause and condition. And again, it's, that's the true existence. So you are empty. Emptiness is something you are emptying true. Right? And what you are emptying true on what? When you establish the emptiness of the table. You cannot empty true on the table. And then says, oh, when it's connected or the related with your mind, and then you see new creation of object. So we are emptying true nature on that new creation of that objects. And what is that? As the being basis of the name. Right. Being basis of the name. And so being basis of the name, table being basis of the name of the table, is mental creations. And you are, when you empty the true existence, how much can you empty that true existence? So you are saying this is a completely 100% wrong and not true. And my own school says, no, no, not 100%. So there's something from the object side. And what you, and then what you are emptying, that you are, this, what is your sense or your understanding of the true existence? You are emptying. And there's this true understand, truly existent, that means the being basis of the name of the table, if it appears to our thought consciousness as if without depending on thought and term, so that we are emptying that. That is, we are emptying truly existent on the being basis of the name. Right? So when you're not saying this is completely not true, unreal or something, they are kind of, they have a some how to say degree of attached with that and the basis of true existence. Right? Now without depending on term and thought, right? So if something being basis of name is exist, that is not true. That is, if you're conceiving that, is a mistaken or the wrong thought. So, without touching on term and thought, mind only school has no idea what is the emptiness. So, everything you can sense, you can smell, you can see, you can touch, you can experience, you can feel, everything is a truly existent. So there's a, only they can empty the true nature in two imputational natures. One is gross level, being object of the name. That is imagination. So when you empty the true nature in the being object of the name, you are saying imagination is not the actual object. That's all, right? And the second, the more subtle level, is the being basis of the names. So being basis of names, when you empty the true nature in being basis of the names, and you are emptying true nature of being basis of the name is without depending on term and thought. That imputational natures, its own side, something that is exists by its own side, without depending on term and thought. So that is true natures. They are emptying that true nature. So, and that indicates they believe So they are only emptying imputational nature, that is, without depending on the imputational natures, the nature of that the characteristic imputational natures, without depending on term and thought. And so when they empty that, and the dependent, the exist term in thought, right? Dependently, dependently term, dependently existent, dependently existent of that mental creations or that being basis of the name. The depending here is depending on term in thought, depending on the basis, right? So depending on the table, the substantial exists on the table, and depending on term and thought, and there is a possible to exist of the meant that being basis of the name. Right. So being basis of the name is depending on and the basis, that table, depending on term and thought, the thought consciousness, the conceiving table, and term that expressing the table. So, and then you see the basis is a truly existence, and the subject and term and thought, it is also truly existence. Now within the two truly existent, and it create one new creation, one new characteristic that is not true. So mind only school has the best example, and they're not truly existent in mind only school is the dream. So this is when you have dream of elephant, right? And the elephant in dream is not out there, not the consciousness, right? Not the consciousness, not existing in an external level, and how to say, parij langbo yin suj shabayamai nisumeba kanyas. So the personality of the nature of that elephant is non-duality, that is not exist as a thought, the consciousness, not exist in the external level. So, just a mere appearance. So this is the best example of the emptiness. Emptiness means best example of understanding the imputational nature.
What's the magician word? I thought the magician was also
the magician is the same, yeah. It's the same you were saying, yeah. So yeah, the consciousness, if that is not truly existence, not exist by its own character, that means it's not exist in general. And there's no way of saying that it conceived mistakenly. It is the wrong thought, right? Wrong consciousness. Here in the Asanga's compendium of the ascertainments, the analysis also should be done in terms of ultimately existing or not ultimately existing. As it was in the ground of the Bodhisattva, which is the root text for the compendium with ascertainment. However, the import of the one analyzes the ultimate and concealer, and the second analyzing ultimately existing and not ultimately existing is similar. So, as we talked before, here when the ultimately existing or is the same as it not truly existing or the truly existing. And the formal analysis in the ground of Bodhisattva is earlier is easier to understand, therefore it has been explained that way. So the term that we use in differently so we can understand the same meaning. The reason for not demonstrating the fallacy with respect to imputational nature and the truly established natures, not ultimately existing, but demonstrating the fallacy with respect to other part natures, not ultimately existing. So there's more kind of, I think this is the basis of argument. Other power natures truly exist or not. So thus here in the ground, the compendium of ascertainment, Asanga, does not address the fallacy of the assertion by the proponents of non-nature that the two imputational nature and thoroughly established natures so do not exist ultimately and exist conventionally. Rather, he demonstrates fallacy upon analyzing whether concealing consciousness and mistaken consciousness ultimately exists or not. So there's argument and imputation in nature, the truly established natures. So these other power natures, in terms of truly existing or not truly existing, is the basis of the argument. The basis. Yeah. So this is the refutation of the position of the proponents of non-nature, that other power natures do not ultimately exist, but exist conventionally. For since just this, the consciousness which being impermanent, are necessarily other power natures. Other power natures are the objects. Subject. I'm reading my imagination. the possessing the quality of the thoroughly established nature, and are the imputers as well as the basis of imputational factors. The scholars mainly debate about whether just these ultimately exist or not. The scholars, they're debating on other power natures, based on other power natures. So in terms of not truly existing or the truly existence. So they can make more decision, more kind of making decisions on their views. So this is saying that in Prasangik school, in the Mind Own school, when they debate or when they go on arguing each other's, mainly based on other power nature. Right? There is not much you cannot make the clear decision on when you talk about imputation and natures, because you have a different understanding of imputation and natures. Right? So once you set up all the decision in terms of the truly existing, not truly existing within the other power natures, in the in with other power nations, and then that will decide what is the imputation of nations, how they settle and not, and how settle the emptiness of your understanding. Right. Indicating that the explanations of abandonment of the true extreme in the companion of ascertainment has the same essential as that in the ground of bodhisattva. The furthermore, Asanga's companion with ascertainment says, it should be known that adherence to the to other powered nature and truly established natures as imputational natures is an extreme superimposition. So two superimpositions. So one exaggerating on imputational natures, saying the imputational natures are truly existent, substantially existent, and others superimpositions. Extreme of superimposition is saying other power natures are not truly existent. There's no true nature in other power natures. There's an extreme of superimposition. So this two extreme view or the extreme, how to say,
in Sankhya school, the thoroughly established nature is what? It's emptiness? What is the thoroughly established nature in Prasannas?
Yeah, that is the emptiness.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, but then even that thoroughly established nature is not
truly existence. Yeah.
Or inherent existence.
Yeah.
In Prasannas school. So the definition of thoroughly established nature in the Sankhya school is that it exists in the ultimate consciousness, but that's it, basically, because it's nothing, something that's permanent, existing, or that's like, always true, just, it's still is a,
So, yeah, in Tuyantamba, in Tibetan words, Tuyantamba, and, there is a Shantideva, Shantarakita, and in Baba Viveka, their understanding, describing an ultimate, truly established natures, ultimate natures. This is, in Tibetan words, Tuyantambas. They, how to say, separate the two words, Tuyan and Tamba. Tuyan means the object, or the meaning that you are understanding, right? Tamba means it's referring to the subject. And Tamba here is ultimate consciousness that is more referring to the, uninterrupted path or the direct yogic perceptions. So object is the understanding, is the meaning that it's understandable or the understanding, meaning that is perceived or the understand or the realized by that direct yogic perceptions. So both put together expressing the word Tuyan Thamba. Tuyan is the object, Thamba means the direct yogic perceptions. Right? And is a meaning that perceived or realized by the direct yogic perception is the ultimate nature. Right. So then this truly established nature, the ultimate nature, is the emptiness. Now when you talk about this is a different way when you say emptiness is not truly existence. So because you've been saying that there's not truly existent table and houses and tree because it's not true as it appears to our mind, as it appears to the thought consciousness. So emptiness is also does not is it not true as it appeared to the thought consciousness? Right. Yeah, and you say even the path of accumulations, their understanding, their realization of emptiness is the conceptual consciousness, right? And even the path of preparations and their realization of emptiness is also conceptual consciousness. Now you see here the conceptual consciousness, both the conceptual consciousness has the path of accumulations, conceptual consciousness, their realizing emptiness, path of preparations, their conceptual consciousness, understanding the emptiness. So you see the difference here is kind of experiencing the feeling of emptiness, the path of accumulation, and much further. Or it's kind of, there is a distance, an experience, a feeling of the different for object and subject. And path of liberation has much closer to the emptiness. And that also means that imagination is much thinner than path of accumulations seeing the emptiness, right? So once the path of liberations seeing the emptiness much closer than the path of accumulation seeing the emptiness, and that is much thinner the imaginations, and path of preparation that is coming completely closer to the emptiness seeing directly, so that path of seeing, right? So Prasangik school idea, when you see the distance, see something in the distance, that is seeing duality, that is seeing truly nature in the phenomena.
But for power of seeing, you can perceive emptiness directly.
Yeah, yeah.
So so for power of seeing, emptiness actually truly exists, right? You can actually see the object as it is.
Yeah, now you can see it. Emptiness, is it true as it appeared to path of seeing? As it appeared to part of direct yogic perceptions, that's true. Yeah, that is. Now, in general, when you say emptiness, not truly existence, that means emptiness is also not true as it appeared to conceptual consciousness. It's general we are talking about, right? It's being true is the ultimate. It's true as it appeared to direct yogic perception.
So for yogi possession consciousness, this emptiness truly exists.
The yogic perception's emptiness is not truly existence, because it also appears or the conceived that emptiness by the thought consciousness. Because we are counting the path of accumulation, path of preparation, path of seeing, so it's an object, right? Apprehended by the ordinary beings, because we need to have a class to find this. So when you read the texts, there's the Arya, Arya, pay homage to the Arya who are on part of, I want to say, ground, and Satamuradugawa, right? And then Timameba, I don't know what how to say that. So there is Rabdugawa. I have no English word for that. So yeah, we homage to the path someone who on the first ground of the Bodhisattva. We homage to the someone who are on the path of the second, the ground of the Bodhisattva. So we kind of try to conceive, kind of try to apprehend those paths of seeing. So everything is not truly existence, even the emptiness. So when you say that, not truly existence is not truly exist as it appeared to the thought consciousness in general, right? Now, ultimate natures, emptiness is the true, is the ultimate truth. So being true. The true means this is the true as it appeared to the yogic perceptions. There is no mistaking. Right. So we cannot when you say that, Tintu, is it delicious in general? So you cannot make a decision on that. Some people say, oh, this is not delicious. This is not. Some people say it's very delicious. Right? It's being delicious to the someone who can taste, who sees this as tasty. Right. So yeah, I think this is very important. We sometimes say not truly exist. What is meaning of that? Why you are saying that's not truly existent? And you already have ultimate truth. Ultimate truth means that true. And you say there's no true existence. So you have to find out there's no contradiction within.
I feel like it's all about definition, because everybody has different definition. Therefore, everybody's arguing, but then you're actually arguing two different things. Even sometimes I feel like even when talking about other people talking about soul, right? Hmm. And there's a soul travels through life after life. And then I think, you know, there's also no definition really from their side that they're saying that is, you know, is permanent. But then because we're saying, oh, you know, you're talking about this is we're talking about consciousness traveling through life after that, and it's not permanent, therefore it's constantly changing, so there's no solid solid existence of a person there or soul. But then I think for a lot of people from the Christian, maybe their soul is also just means that it's something that travels through life to life.
It's not Christian. Christian does not mean reincarnation. It's New Age people.
Okay.
Yeah, then
soul is like, you know, they're thinking that there's no soul, but sometimes they're talking about maybe still the same thing, just that because, you know, there's the finite definition, therefore there's this, you know, debate that no, what you're saying is not true, but it's just there's
so not knowing is the source of the debating. Yeah. So in Buddha's, the one of the statement from the Buddha says, I don't debate or argue with sentient beings. There is the argument from the sentient beings. Because Buddha has no argument because there is no confusion. Right? So the sentient beings in big confusions, so they can argue, and what is your system? What is your term? And what is the definition of that? Because I think this is very kind of, this is the way to get into the reality, to know the reality. So, and the soul, even the soul, New Age people talking about, sometimes they do not have any kind of, not much idea. It's kind of innate, kind of the lineage of expression, something coming from. And then when you go to the lineage, and they are really believing the permanent soul, permanent I. So then. Yeah.
When you say that
imagination gets better, it's thicker and
thinner. It's DSM. Getting talk about DSM.
So that means I already said that when you see things through the curtain, right? There is the thinner curtain, more thicker curtain. So if you have thick curtain, you only can see the shadow that the person, when the person is going out there, right? And you, if you have a thinner curtain, you can see the colors and the shape. If you without curtain, you can see directly. So it's like that.
Just like seeing through what?
Seeing emptiness, the part of accumulations, also realizing emptiness, part of preparations, also realizing emptiness. What is the difference between those two realizations? It's both seeing emptiness And I said, the path of accumulations is seeing the emptiness with, how to say, thicker than the path of preparation, seeing the emptiness. It's imaginations. That also means it's much kind of, there is more distance and object that emptiness and the subject that realizations. And path of preparation is much closer to the emptiness. And then again you ask, and then we have to wait for the experience. So within, and Prajaparamita, where they talk about six stages, I mean, the four stages within the path of preparation. So this is also, we can distinguish between three, four stages of the path of preparations by seeing the emptiness closer and closer. Relatively closer, only closer or something. So Chöjo, the final stage of the path of preparation, Chöjo means, is the final stage of ordinary being, or the final stage of the mundane being. And then, second instant, they are going to be turned into noble being, right? Chöjo. Jigdenbe Chöjo is the final stage of mundane being, something like that. So when you reach the path of seeing, and so your meditation, your realization, your object of the realization is like in water into water, right? So there is no appearance, even the appearance, there is no slight appearance of the duality, object and the subject. It should be known that adherence to other power natures and the truly established natures as imputational nature is an extreme of superimposition. So I think this is very one thing that because it's to know the emptiness, as today, you always have to understand mistaken belief. You have to recognize, you have to know what is the misbelief, right? Emptiness coming after that, realization emptiness coming after that, when you recognize the misbelief. So once you know the misbelief, and then you know that the object, that grasper misbelief, is not existence. So knowing object by the grasping by the misbelief, knowing that it's not existent, is the knowing or the realizing emptiness. Right? So within the mind only school says, so this is very important to know the superimpositions, two extreme superimpositions. So that means a realization emptiness is contains the freedom of true superimposition. So the realization emptiness has the potential, or it's a I think it's the possessed the quality that free from deprecations and superimpositions, and overestimating and underestimating, free from those two extreme view. So this is very true, because in the mind only school, if you negate the truly existing in other power natures, so they are afraid of that. So that someone who believes that there's no true nature in the other power natures, they are deprecating the law of causality. They don't believe, there's no, there's no longer believing in a cause and effect. Positive cause has the potential to give rise to happiness. Negative cause has the potential to give rise to the suffering. If you do that, if you go into that believing, and you are annihilating the, truly existent, or you are annihilating the cause and effect. So, and mainly focusing on that, not falling into that kind of nihilism, negating the cause and effect, nihilating the cause and effect. So Prasangika says, you don't have to worry about that. I am very, very strongly believing in cause and effect. Even though I negate the truly existence, the true nature and other power natures, I still have a strong faith in the cause and effect. If this mind only school knows that, and they also become Prasangika school. So this is in the three principle path. So you see, how is that? Mikbe tezo kaya. So that means it's very the subtle understanding or the dependent arising is you have to come to be able to completely negate and slightly inherent exists true nature in the phenomena. Once you completely you can empty that, and then you will know the dependent arising, right? The very subtle level dependent arising. So that means mind only school is they are not being able to empty completely the true nature, because they're holding on the truly existent in the basis. So their understanding dependent arising that only in other power natures. They cannot go out, coming out from the other power natures. They're saying that dependent arising. So dependent arising's definition is only they find in the functional thing. Mind-only school. Prasangika school says everything is a dependent arising.
What? I mean, there are three types, right? Like, the cause and effect, and then relationship. You know, even the class, the dependent arising has three different, like, more hidden phenomena.
Dependent arising? I think there's a two, dependent arising in the sense of productions, and depending arising in the sense of designation. So dependent arising in the sense of production is the cause and effect, right? Defending arising in the sense of designations, like entity in the basis. So then you can see the dependent arising in all phenomena, the basis and entity. I think the two. tenne tabe tenjung, tenne chungwe tenjung su chu.
Something about, well, I don't know if it was from the San Francisco, but you mentioned, like, ultimate consciousness is dependent on ultimate object. Is that dependent arising?
So, maybe it's just very simple. I mean, you say, dependently, when you understand that, dependent arisings. When you see happiness and the suffering is a dependently arisings, depending on the positive karma and things, and then there is a possibility of arising the happiness feeling, right? So these are happiness and suffering. It's a dependent arisings because in cause and effect, in the sense of cause and effect. And when you say, what is the table and what is the basis of the table? Entity and the basis. And all the parts of the table there is nothing you can point as a table, but table still exists. So how does table exist? Table cannot exist outside of the basis, all the parts. Table not exists within the parts. And how could table exist? So dependent arising in the sense of designations. Then I don't have third one. Maybe that is interest. There's one Prajaparamita, when they talk about dependent arisings, this is more talking about inner dependent arisings. So that has three categories, three characteristics. So when you say it's depending on the conditions and how that the productions depending on the condition as one metabhijñā. Metabhijñā means impermanent. And second, nivijñāsa is a potential. But the conditions are potentials, depending on potential. And miyuvijñāsa and so is not produced by some mighty things that it's something that is not related with it. So three characteristic. So when you say happiness is produced by impermanent conditions, because happiness is changing and it must have the substantial cause must be impermanent. Happiness is produced by the potentials. So cause that producing happiness has to have a potential to give rise to happiness. So every cause condition cannot produce the happiness. Nivijñāsa, potential. And your mevijñāsa is unshakable or something. Is also that means your meva means one is and is not movable or this is a certain or something. It's not depending on some mighty things that is not related with that object. So that is producing things like happiness and suffering. Because there's no connection with that. So your happiness and your suffering is not related with the mighty God or something. And God is always producing, so there's no connection. Right. Maybe three characteristics there. Okay.
Sanju Simcha Rinpoche, Maje Bano Jejuje, Jeva Nyamba Mevanya, Kone Kondo Mevarej. Tony Dawa Rinpoche, Maje Bano Jejuje, Jeva Nyamba Mevanya, Kone Kondo Mevarej. Kare Rebe Goveji Mandere, Pendante Wama Rejuje, Shere Sama Tenzin Jiazu Jin Shabe Sede Bado Tenjiru Ji.
Okay.